Regarding that, we read hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar Qul, Rahimallahu imra'an, Salla qabla al-asri arba'an. May Allah shower his blessings upon the individual who performs four rak'at before Salatul Asr. Then he said, wa rak'atan ba'd al-asri. And then 2 minutes of prayer before after Salatul Asr. 2 minutes of prayer after Salatul Asr. Wa rak'atan ba'd al-maghrib. We also discussed that. Wa rak'atan ba'd al-maghrib. 2 minutes of prayer before Maghrib. After Salatul Maghrib. And we told us what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, irka'u hatayn al-raka'atayn fil-buyut. He said that where? In Masjid Bani Abdul Adhal. He prayed there, alayhi salatu wa salam. He began to make 2 minutes of prayer in this year after Maghrib. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irka'u hatayn al-raka'atayn fil-buyut. Observe those 2 minutes of prayer at home. Then we told us what Imam Huzaima and others have said, that this statement does not mean that if a person observes it inside the masjid, it is wrong or that it is a sin. Imam Ibn Huzaima said, the one who will say that is someone who hasn't good knowledge of Islam. He is not well grounded in Islam. Because it will mean that he holds those 2 minutes of prayer as obligatory. They are not obligatory. Performing them itself is not obligatory. Why should the location to observe them become an obligation? The asr is not obligatory. How can the farz become obligatory? So if the person observes it in the masjid, it is allowed. But the best place to observe it is where? At home. Those are the 2 units after Salatul Maghrib. As we walked out of the masjid last week, one of the brothers came to me and said, so what is the worship between Maghrib and Isha? That long ago, we used to hear some reports about a lot of nawafil between Maghrib and Isha. And here you have only mentioned only two rak'ah between Maghrib and Isha. And even that, we observe it at home. What about all what we used to hear while we were younger than this, between Maghrib and Isha? So I thought to discuss this issue today with respect to the worship between Maghrib and Isha. Let us first of all say what is correct. The correct thing is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apart from these 2 units of prayer, he encouraged us to perform at home. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes will remain in the masjid observing raka'at without limit. Without specific number. If a person remains in the masjid after the sunnatun ba'diyatun of Maghrib, do you understand this point? The one that is really established for after Salatul Maghrib. He stands up and begins to pray two till the time of Isha. There's no blame on him. The number is not specific and the reward is not specific. All he knows is that sometimes the Prophet will do it. That is the reason why alayhi salatu salam, that is the reason why the individual too should only do it sometimes. Sometimes we will do it. So we should do it sometimes. What is that? After the sunnah to Ratibatun, after we have finished Salatul Maghrib, we remain in the masjid making nawafil till the time of Salatul Isha. This is established in an authentic hadith that Al-Imam al-Nasa'i has collected in the As-Sunan al-Kubra, not Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. Imam al-Nasa'i collected it in the As-Sunan al-Kubra. Likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Tirmidhi, and others. In a very lengthy hadith, the hadith of Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman. let us proceed because of time. We would have picked that hadith from its beginning. Hudayf ibn al-Yaman said, radiallahu anhu, or radiallahu anhuma, because Hudayf ibn al-Yaman himself and his father are from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. His father passed away during the Battle of Badr. Radiallahu anhuma. He says, Aqayt to Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I came to meet the Prophet Muhammad. He came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because his mother asked him, how long, when last did you see the Messenger? Huzaifah's mother, who is also a Sahabiya, asked Huzaifah, when last did you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, sometime, which she understood to be too long. How can you be in this town? The Messenger is in this town, and then 2 days, 3 days, he didn't go to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she became to speak something that he did not like to me. So he told her, radiallahu anha wa radiallahu anhu, I will go and meet the Messenger of Allah. I would have learned to read this hadith in the 19th report. But it's according to Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we go back to it. It's also according to Musnad Imam Ahmad. You will enjoy the hadith. It's from the aspect to make us understand that parents, even when we are old, they still want us to be close to the source of goodness. So you understand, you are counting days, 1, 2, 3 days. You didn't go to the Messenger. So he said, she spoke words to him that were heavy on him. Radiallahu anhu. So he said to her, I will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right away and I will ask him to ask Allah's forgiveness for me and for you. Radiallahu anhu. So they said that to his mother. That was the beginning of Hudhayfah coming to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, Ataytu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Fa sallaytu ma'ahu al-maghrib. So I observed salatu al-maghrib with him. Fa salla al-isha. Fa salla illa al-isha. صليت المغرب معه فصلى إلى العشاء. I observed Salat al-Maghrib along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet remained observing Salah, observing Salah, observing Salah. He went إلى العشاء, up to the time of Isha. And the riwayah of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, it appears there, I think, فصلى حتى صلى العشاء. صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى Sallal Isha. The Prophet began to pray, he began to observe rak'at of nawafil, he began to pray hatta Sallal Isha. He began to do that until he performed Salatul Isha. The second riwayah occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The first one occurs in Sunan al-Nasa'i al-Kubra. Al-Imam Munziri mentioned it, Abdul Azim ibn Abdul Qawish, he mentioned it in his book, At-Tarjid wa At-Tarjid. And he says the isnad is jayyidin, that the isnad is good. The Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah in his tahqiq of At-Tarjid wa At-Tarjid, he mentioned that the isnad is haq, rahimahumallah. Secondly, that some of the early Muslims, like Anas ibn Malik, and Imam Ikrim, and others, they say that when Allah said, تَتَجَافَ جِنُوبُهُمْ عَلِي الْمَضَاجِ in Surah Al-Sajdah, that the Muslims, those who are inherit Al-Jannah. One of the things they do is that تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَلِي الْمَضَاجِ. They keep away their sides away from their bed, mabaj, from the closeness of sleep. They keep away. Although there are reports that this verse refers to Qiyam al-Layl. But others amongst the early Muslims like Anas and the Isnad of this report to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is authentic. He said, رضي الله عنه, that تتجافى جنوبهم أي النضاجر يدبع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي له من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون إن أفتجنا. The Jizbah, the Annahum Yatayakhazoon, these people, Tatajafa Jinobuhum, they stand away, Yatayakhazoon, Bain al Maghrib wal Isha, between Salat al Maghrib wal Isha, wa Yusalloon. And they will be observing what Raka, observing Salat between Maghrib and Isha. Anas bin Malik and others among the early Muslims, like Al Imam Qatada ibn Abi Amr Sadiqi and others, they say that it refers to the salawat that the individual observes between Maghrib and Isha. This goes to make us understand that between Maghrib and Isha, we are allowed to make as much number of raka'at as Allah will. This will go under the at-taqawwu' al-mutlaq, al-nawafil al-mutlaqa. There are nawafil that we are just allowed. It's open. Just go on observing. This is one of them. The number is not specified. The reward is not specified. But what they know is that we observe salawat between Maghrib and Isha. So we can stay in the masjid between Maghrib and Isha sometimes from the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Sometimes we will stay in the masjid. And he will observe, he will pray, nawafil, raka'at, until the time of Salatul Isha. This is what is correct between Maghrib and Isha. The reports regarding them are authentic. That author of Anas ibn Malik, Al-Imam ibn Jarir in his Tabari, he mentioned it in his Tafsir, likewise Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, and others amongst the ulama. Al-Imam Abu Dawud also reported it in his Sunnah. So that is the worship between Maghrib and Isha. What is the masjid between Maghrib and Isha? The worship between Maghrib and Isha. It should remain in the masjid and make as much nawafil as Allah will. As much nawafil as Allah will. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla hatta salla al-Isha. He would observe salah after salah to Maghrib until he will pray Isha. We pray in our surah until Isha. After saying what is correct, let us say what is wrong. There are some things people have said regarding between Maghrib and Isha, and they are wrong. Let us say it so that we can know it. Because they are the most popular. The wrong things now are the most popular things. May Allah forgive us. But that they are popular does not equate them with something that is good. La yastawi al-khabithu wa tayyib wa law a'jabaka kathratu al-khabith. You cannot compare what is right, good, and what is bad. Even if the large widespread of something that is bad scares us in the face. Oh, this thing is everywhere. So you want to say that, you know, people use it as a means of evidence. You say, oh my, you say new things now. Are you not saying that all these our Baba, or all these our people, or all these people, are you not saying all these people are wrong? La yastawi al-khabithu wa tayyib wa law a'jabaka kathratu al-khabith. Let's proceed. There are a lot of things around that, but let's see. It is popular. There are three or four reports you read through. In one of them, Al-Imam ibn Majah reports in his Sunan. Others reported it. The Imam ibn Shahin in his Tarjeeb wa Tarjeeb. And others, they say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla bayna al-maghrib wal-isha 20 rak'atan. Man salla bayna al-maghrib wal-isha 20 rak'atan. Whoever prays 20 rak'at between Maghrib and Isha, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Allah will build a house for him in Al-Jannah. If he, any person who goes to Jannah, he will be very thankful. Man salla bayna al-Maghrib wal-Isha بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. This hadith is موجود. Fabricated. Adapt by Roman Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who, with all his change, will report back to me. Even if Yaqub ibn Walid al-Madani. He is the one who, all those who have reported it from me. And this person, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said regarding him that, huwa min al-kazzabin al-kibar. Yaqub ibn al-Walid al-Madin. He is the one who fabricated this report. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know it is not, an Hisham ibn Urwa, an Abihi an Aisha. Hisham ibn Urwa an Abihi an Aisha is one of the best asanid you can have. Some of the a'imma consider it as from Tilsila to Zahra. For Hisham ibn Urwa, Imam. Urwa ibn Zubayr, Abuhi, Imam. And Urwa is to report from who? Aisha. So Hisham ibn Urwa and Abuhi and Aisha is deep Islam. Over 35% of Asanid in Sahih al-Bukhari is deep Islam. Hisham ibn Urwa and Abuhi and Aisha. Likewise, in Muwatta Imam Malik. And here we are. Yaqub ibn al-Walid fight them. Hisham told me that Urwa, his father, said that Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla bayna al-maghrib wa al-isha ishreeka rak'atan bana Allahu lahu baytan fi jannah. Next time you hear somebody say, ya irani, it has been reported and mentioned by one of the worst liars in this country. Imam Ahmad calls him min al-kazzabin al-kibar. May Allah protect him. I think it suffices on that. There are other things I noted here, but we must proceed. The second report around that, it says, man salla 6 raka'at, whoever observed 6 raka'at, ba'da al-maghrib, qabla an yatakallama, after salat al-maghrib. I have seen this one before. Some people will observe salat al-maghrib, they will not talk to anybody. Because they want to observe 6 raka'at after maghrib. Based on this hadith. It says, man salla 6 raka'at ba'da al-maghrib qabla an yatakallam ghufira lahu biha junubu 50 sana. Whoever observes 6 raka'at after salat al-maghrib, salam alaykum maghrib, and he does not talk to anybody, he stays somewhere and observes 6 raka'at. He will be forgiving the sins of 15 years. One of the things that will make you understand that it's a lie. What if it's not up to 15 years old? So think of when. Likewise, this hadith was reported by Muhammad ibn Ghazwan al-Dimashqi. Imam Abu Zur'at al-Razi mentioned it's a munkar al-hadith. These are narrations that are next to Mawdu. So it is very fungible. Don't mention it as from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The third report around this. Says man salla ba'da al-maghrib 6 raka'at. The first one is how many? 20 raka'at. The second one is what? 6 raka'at. This one also says man salla ba'da al-maghrib 6 raka'at lam yatakallam fima baynahunna bisu'i. He observed 6 raka'at. Lam yatakallam fima baynahunna. In between this six, each time he makes a plea after a two, he does not speak of anything evil in between these raka'at. أُذِينَ لَهُ بِعِبَادَةِ 12 سَنَةً It should be equal بِعِبَادَةِ 12 سَنَةً It should be meant to be equal to worship of 12 years for him. Worship of 12 years. The other one, forgiveness of 6 years. The other one, 20 rak'ah. Al-Jannah. All these reports are wrong reports. They are weak reports. They are unreliable reports. They are not things that people should say and ascribe them to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sort of report, amongst those who mentioned its weakness, was Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And then there are Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah. All of these reports that we have read, they occur in silsila al-ahadith al-da'ifa wal-mawdu'a by Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, the first volume says 680. We need them to follow one another. These reports regarding observing Salat al-Maghrib and then praying either 20 rak'at or 6 rak'at to get these rewards, he mentioned them and he discussed them excessively. Others among the A'imah, like Al-Imam al-Mundiri, Abdul Azim ibn Abdul Haq, he also mentioned them in the Targhib wa Targhib, and he mentioned the weaknesses regarding them. So it's not that the Sheikh al-Albani was the first person to speak about the weaknesses of these reports. They are lies. So somebody should not say, performing 6 rak'at after Maghrib. Why? He wants 50 years of sin to be forgiven. It's a lie. None of them. So he wants them to be equal to 12 years of worship for him. It's a lie. It's not authentic. Oh, he makes 20 rak'at after Salat al-Maghrib because he wants Allah to build a house for him in Al-Jannah. It's a lie. It is not correct. So these reports are not correct regarding worship after Salat al-Maghrib. I hope the brother who asked this question got his answer now. Did you get his answer? Did you get his answer? He's very busy. What did I say last? So what did I say last? No. Okay. I asked him whether you got your answer. You ask, what is the worship between Maghrib and Isha? So we mention it in class so that everybody will benefit, inshallah, from it. So what we should do is to stay in the masjid between Maghrib and Isha sometimes and observe Nawafil as much as Allah will. And there is no particular reward that is connected to it, except that someday, sometime, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. That is why it is not from the Rawatib. If it was something that he did repeatedly, like the 2 rak'at after Maghrib, it would have been counted as from what? From the Rawat. But it is not from the Rawat. It is not from the Rawat. The one that is Ratiba after Salat al-Maghrib is how many minutes? 2 after Salat al-Maghrib. And the best place to observe is where? At home. May Allah make us understand better than he said. So we go back to our book. The Imam Shawkani says, وَرَكَتَاتْ بَعْدَ الْإِشَىٰ So after Salat al-Isha, we observe 2 minutes of prayer. After Salat al-Isha, we make 2 minutes of prayer. وَرَكَتَاتْ بَعْدَ الْإِشَىٰ There are a number of ahadith that establishes this worship. But we mention 2 of them. The first of them is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, when he said that he memorized from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hafiz min al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I long to observe from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many rak'at? He mentioned 10 rak'at. He said rak'atayn qabla zuhur, wa rak'atayn ba'daha, wa rak'atayn ba'da al-maghrib fi baytihi. And then he says, radiyallahu anhumah, wa rak'atayn ba'da al-isha fi baytihi. وركعتين بعد العشاء أين في بيت in this house. So after Salat al-Maghrib, here is the best place to observe our surah at home. after Salatul Isha. Here is the best way to observe our two rakat, also at home. That is not to say that if the individual observes it inside the masjid, that it is not allowed. No. That is why we say the best place to observe them is at home. Two rakat after Salatul Maghrib and two rakat afterwards, after Salatul Isha. The second, that first hadith of Ibn Umar occurred in Bukhari and Muslim. So we repeated that hadith a number of times. The second hadith has also been repeated. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Shafiq. When he asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the salah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about his papa who asked, you remember this hadith? And then she said to him, part of it, وَكَانَ يُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ الْمَغْرِرَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will lead the people in salat al-maghrib. ثُمَّ يَدُسُلُ فَيُصَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْهِ. After Maghrib, he will come into the house and observe two rak'at of nafila. وَيُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ الْعِشَى. And then he will go out and lead the people in salat al-isha. وَيَدُسُلُ بَيْتِي. And then come back to my house, my room. فَيُصَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْهِ. And observe 2 units of salah. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Shafiq is occurs in Sahih Muslim. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari is Sahih Muslim. So now, somebody asks us, how many are the rawatib? How are we going to count them? 4 rak'at before Zuhur, 4 rak'at after Zuhur. How many? 8 rak'at. How many rak'at before Asr? 4. How many now? 12. 2 rak'at after Maghrib. How many? 14. 2 rak'at after Isha. How many? 16. We are still waiting for Salatul Fajr. So we go to Salatul Fajr. Imam Shawkani says, وَرَكَعَتَانِ قَبْلَ صَلَاتِ الْفَجْرِ وَرَكَعَتَانِ قَبْلَ صَلَاتِ الْفَجْرِ. And 2 units of prayer before Fajr. How many will that be? 18 units. Wallahi, if a person keeps tradition, he will be very busy. If you believe you got 6 days, he will be very busy. 2 is that his mind will be regularly connected to Salah. 4 before Asr, 2 after Asr, we didn't count that one. How many now? Subhanallah. Apart from 17 of As-Salawatul Khamsa. 20. 4 before Zuhur, 4 after Zuhur, 4 before Asr, 2 after Asr, 2 after Maghrib, 2 after Isha, 2 before Fajr. 20. You'll be very busy. If a woman is 6 days, she will not have time for talk. She'll be very, very busy. Because for you to speak to it, you have to prepare for it. The person who does not know the time for Zuhur may not know how to observe it. Your mind will be Zuhur, we are 15 minutes away from Zuhur. So you are calculating. As long as much as the time reaches, people will start making your 4 rak'at before Zuhur. And after Zuhur, you make 4. You are not in any hurry at all. Somebody who is going to make 4 units of prayer after Salatul Zuhur will not be in a hurry to observe that Zuhur. Calmly observe for you. 4, 4, 4, 12. You have to feel immediately, and you don't need to share your machine. And after this salawat, in her sujood, in her ruku, she'll be begging Allah help my husband. Let him come back with something for us to eat and drink, halal and tayyiban. Every day like that, 20 units of prayer, she's begging Allah. Allah, my children, bless them. Let them be knowledgeable. 20 units. And the man who is busy with it, Allah help him. 20 units. Rawati. instead of being a slave of a people. What you find is they get busy in social media. WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They want to follow up who won which election. They'll be counting the number of delegates and memorizing the votes that every person has. It is from the defeat of this day. Defeat Ekpenjeni. Allah protect all of us. What is the truth to observe 2 minutes of prayer before Salat in Fajr? The first hadith also we have is the hadith of Ibn Umar, the same hadith. He said, رضي الله عنهما أقلت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعات. I memorized 10 from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I noted 10 and I preserved 10 from him عليه الصلاة والسلام. Like we have been reading there, one of what he said, رضي الله عنهما, is that وَرَكَعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. Ibn Umar counted the 10 and said, رضي الله عنهما, وَرَكَعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. وَرَكَعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. The hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها, a separate hadith from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Shakir. She said, رضي الله عنها, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لم يقم على شيء من النوافل أشد معاهدة منه على ركعتين قبل الصبح. لم يقم على شيء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was not strict in keeping معاهدة محافظة. He was not strict in sticking to something that is nothing. Being strict in sticking to something that is nothing. He did not have any kind of attitude to any prayer like that. Like he had for Rakatayn of Nafsi. The 2 rakats of Nafsi are before Salat al Fajr. He talked to you. And it is Nafsi, yes. He talked to you. Of all in our field that he talks to, he was always observing, or that he speaks to. He was always observing. He did not miss it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was what? The 2 rak'at before Salat al-Fajr. He talks to this hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim too, hadith of Aisha. It should be in Umdat al-Ahkam. لم يكن على شيء من النوافل أشد معاهدة منه على ركعتين قبل الصبح. In her report again, رضي الله عنها, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي ركعتين أو يصلي ركعتين فجر إذا سمع الأذان. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي ركعتين الفجر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم would observe the 2 minutes before صلاة الفجر إذا سمع الأذان. That will happen when he hears the أذان. In another report she said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رضي الله عنها إذا سكت المؤذن من الأذان. When the مؤذن stops his أذان من صلاة الصبح. The Adhan for صلاة الصبح. When he stops it, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم will observe ركعتين الفجر. The 2 minutes of prayer before the Fajr prayer. ويخففهما. He will observe 2 minutes of prayer after the Adhan. After the Muazzin keeps quiet from the Adhan. ويخففهما. And he will be brief with the 2 of them. He will be brief in them. You have faith in him. He will make them brief. So it's not a lengthy thing to start reciting Al-Baqarah. No, brief. You have faith in him. In another report, she says, رضي الله عنها, you have faith in him حتى إني أقول he will make them so big that I will say and say, Al Qur'a bi Ummi Kitab, did he even recite Surah Al Fatiha Ummi Kitab? The beginning of the Quran. Did he even recite this beginning of the Quran? He said, it will be so fast. That is Al Mubalagha to Tafsir. He will be so brief, it will be so brief. You khafifuhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would observe them so briefly, quickly, between the Azan of Fajr and the Iqama of Fajr. Two brief units of prayer. And it will be so brief to the extent that I will think that if we observe Surah Al-Fatiha in it. Now there are two things here. She said, he will be so brief that she will think that he will wonder whether he observed Surah Al-Fatiha in them. Does this mean that he did not read Surah Al-Fatiha? Why doesn't he think so? She's saying, she's wondering. Did he observe Surah Al-Fatiha in these two brief units of prayer because of the briefness? And you say it does not mean that he left out Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Because the one who does not observe, who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah, Salah, Salah. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, la salata liman lam yaqra' bi fatiha. There is no salah for the one who has not recited fatiha. So it meant that he was reading Surah Al-Fatiha. Okay. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported in hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first raka'ah of Rakata al-Fajr, he will observe Surah al-Kafirun. And in the second Rak'ah, he will recite Surah al-Ikhlas. The hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. In fact, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, many times, I can't count the number of times I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Surah al-Kafirun and Surah al-Ikhlas in Rakata al-Fajr. So this means that as brief as those two prayers, those two units were, the next thing you will recite in them is what? Surah Al-Fatiha and what? Surah Al-Kafirun in the first rak'ah. And in the second rak'ah you read what? Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ikhlas. But he will make them brief. 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 He will make quickly observe. Make them brief. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This explanation that we have given, Imam al-Qurtubi and others, Imam al-Nawawi, Imam al-Sindhi, they gave this explanation. That her statement that hatta aqul hal qara'a bi ummi al-kitab, they say that it does not mean that he was not reciting Surah al-Fatiha. What it rather means is that he will recite Surah al-Fatiha and he recites those surahs because we have clear proof that he was reciting them. And the intention for her saying that is to describe how briefly he would observe them. It is not talking about the fact that, it's not talking about that he will not observe them at all. That he will not recite Fatiha, he will not recite any surah, he will just stand up, make a dirah, and then no. That is not what she was saying. You have 50 lima. You read in them in the recital that you read while observing those two units of prayer. This makes us remember a hadith by Anas ibn Malik. It also occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Anas said, radiallahu anhu, that sometimes even in the obligatory prayer, the Prophet will be so brief yet perfect in the way of observing the prayer. He will be so brief and then still perfect all the adhkar and all the movements, he will still perfect it. Even though he is brief in it. So this could happen sometimes. He individually is brief in the way of performing the salah. At the same time, he will perfect everything as they should be in salah. Perhaps the person will say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbi, Al-Alamin. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in some prayer. When he speaks of his greeting, then he will say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But if you stop in between, by the time that he observes to stop in between those ayahs, they are what? They are brief. Very short time. Unlike the other times when the stoppages themselves may be sufficient to read the ayah that he had read. And this is why in the night prayer, you know what? Sometimes the prophet will be repeating one ayah. He will go forth, he will go backwards. He will go forth, he will go backwards. He will recite Al-Baqarah sometimes. So long. If you compare all these to the quick observance of Fatiha and Kafirun, and then Fatiha and Ikhlas, in the second rak'ah that he goes for Rak'at al-Fajri, it will make us understand that Rak'at al-Fajri is relatively far shorter than the rest of his nawafil. I hope that this matter is clear. So we say, Babu Salati Tatawwu'i, Hiya Arba'un Qabla Al-Juhri, Wa Arba'un Ba'dahu, Wa Arba'un Qabla Al-Asri, وركعتان بعد العصر كف وركعتان بعد المغرب وركعتان بعد العشاء وركعتان قبل صلاة الفجر. What does he say next? Next, وصلاة الضحى. I intend to take صلاة الضحى and قيام الليل today. And then I do not want them to be made together with the Rawati. So I'd like us to stop this here and pick Salah to Duha, inshallah, in our next class. There were a few things some people were saying, although it is clear now, regarding Salah to Duha. Some people were once sitting here or something. They were saying something funny about Salah to Duha, something. But they don't say that again now. They stop. So, inshallah, we'll explain Salatul Duha and Qiyamul Layl in our next class. Imam Shawkani says, wa Salatul Duha, then he says, wa Salatul Layl, Salatul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, wa Akhtaruha Salafa Asharata Raka'ata. In a discussion with one of the brothers 3 years ago in Makkah during Ramadan, he said, only Sheikh Al-Albani says that the maximum we can observe is 11 tahiyyat. For Qiyamul Layl, as Shawkani said it. This is it that he has said. It says, wa Salatul Layl. And then the night prayer. In explaining the night prayer, what did he say? Wa Akhtaruha Salafa Ashrata Raka'ata. The most, the maximum you will observe for Salatul Layl is 13 Raka'at. What does that mean? It is also talking about Qiyamul Layl in Ramadan. Is وَأَخْتَرُهَا صَلَاثَ عَشْرَةَ رَكَعَةَ. The most of what you can observe is 13 rak'ah. Imam al-Shawkani said so. Others who have said so, if you go to Sumul al-Salam by Imam al-San'ani, he mentioned it. He even mentioned some amongst the ulama who say, if you observe more than 13, it's an innovation. Imam al-San'ani mentioned that in Sumul al-Salam. And long before, many of the scholars said it. Among those who said it was Al-Imam ibn Khuzaim. Also in a discussion with that, the same brother of ours, I said many scholars said it. I started counting them one after the other. And then I said, Al-Imam ibn Khuzaim said, if a person thinks that he can observe more than that, he has low level of knowledge. That is why he will say that. Fortunately, the brother was holding Sahih ibn Khuzaimah with him. I didn't know. He threw it to me. Said, this is Sahih ibn Khuzaimah. Open it. It was the same copy as the copy that I have. I was lying down on the bed. I did not stand up when I opened it. It was in Medina. So I gave it. He read. Till today, he did not tell me how he feels about it. May Allah forgive all of us. Each time we discuss with the rest of our brothers, we should give a say. They may know something we don't know. They must have seen something we have not seen. Allah in the Quran said, "Fawqa kulli dhi 'ilmin 'aleem." Above everyone who has the knowledge of something, there is one who has the knowledge of that thing beyond him, above him, better than him. Give that faith every time you are discussing a matter. Not give the faith. Yes, you may say something I don't know before. There are many issues like this. You mention somebody thinks he has an overwhelming knowledge of everything. And you say, no, it does not exist. Don't say that. Ask for it first. Please, can you show me? It does not mean that you are not knowledgeable. Ask for it first. Don't start with denial. Because if you deny first, your jar will be murakkab. Why not leave it at al-jahl al-basir? I just don't know. I didn't know. You will not be the first person who was asked about something. I don't know. I don't know. Why do you say no? It does not exist. Ah, you have placed yourself in the position of a nasi. The one who affirms something is giving preference over the one who is denying the occurrence of something. Why? Because his affirming is based on knowledge. Oh, wow. That is the ah. What is perfect? You can now know, for example, somebody says that a hadith that says, observe 20 rak'ahs after Salat al-Maghrib. What is the question you ask? You don't say, no. You don't start with that. Asking first, is it authentic? You say, I can't say that one. But it's not even a major. It doesn't mean that it may not be unauthentic. Find it out. You are pushing him to the answer to that question. So if he goes and begins to find out, and finds out that it is not just the hadith, it is what? Mawdu. وَقَدْ رَوَاهُ كَذَّابٌ خَبِيرٌ مِنَ الْكَذَّابِينَ. The one who had observed it, who had reported it, was one of the lords of liars. You know, he will... Next time, if you say, let me check it for you, yeah, so too much to say, I do this a lot with my friends when we discuss my style in English. In fact, some of them, when I say I don't know, they say, it's not that you don't know. You don't want to say something now. Because we will still hear you say something. Don't deny it. And then to make you know all, when you say all your own, it's like you are telling the man, shoot all your guns. And then begin to explain. This is not like this, it is like this. This is not like this, it is like this. That discussion will be beneficial. Many times people like to start with, it does not exist. No, don't refuse. Don't reject something. Till you have known all that the man has to say. You are here. The patient is not to hear him. And be sincere enough to accept it is the one that is right. That's the second stage of our problem. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi reported this in Manaqib al-Shafi. That once there were discussions between Al-Imam al-Shafi, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi. One of the scholars, Sheikh Ahmed Shafi, he said, no scholar has been mentioned that is greater in my sight like al-Shafi. Imam al-Shafi. He was an all-rounder amongst ulama. He was a scholar of tafsir, he was a scholar of hadith, he was a scholar of fiqh, he was an authority in lugha, he was an authority in qira'at, he was an all-round. Ulama say he started usul al-fiqh, that his book, like the book that they relied on, likewise in Salam al-Hadith. The books were relied on to tap that fund. And yet, issues were mentioned. He did not know a hadith was given to him. He accepted it. Someone who was in that gathering said, Atakulu bi hadha al-hadith, ya Imam? Imam, Are you going to want a view depending on this hadith? The Imam asked him, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ مِنْ خَرَجْتِ مِنَ الْكَنِيسَةِ Did you see me coming out of a church? It is a person who worships in the church who will be told that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something and he will not accept it. I have an opinion. There's a hadith clear cut that shows that the opinion is wrong. Is it not honorable for me to take to that which is right? That is the honorable thing. Any other thing you are doing with you, be fond of yourself. But that hadith must be authentic and it must mean what you are ascribing to it. Two things. The hadith must be sound. Even if the ulama are differed on its authenticity, you must be able to prove its authenticity if it's sound, if it's authentic hadith. Then secondly, the meaning must be showing what you intend to prove with it. And then, there shouldn't be any other hadith or verse that makes us understand that what you try to derive from that hadith is not correct. Sometimes the hadith will apparently show something, but other hadith will make us understand that it cannot mean this one. Like this hadith of Aisha. She said, Hatta Akul, Al Qara'a bi Umm al Kitab, I would say out of the brief observance the Prophet gave to Raka'at al Fajri, I will say, did he observe Umm al Kitab? If the person comes and says, yes, this hadith means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. The hadith is authentic, it's in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. It has passed the first stage of test. The second stage is that, does this mean what you are saying? If you think and insist that it means what you are saying, there are other hadith that makes us understand that that hadith does not mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not observing, was not reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. So sometimes the hadith may be authentic, it may mean what you say apparently, but there are other reports that will make us understand that that meaning is not the meaning that you will derive from it. It will make us adjust the meaning of the hadith, so that we do not make ihmal of any of the two reports. We make ihmal of them. We work with them both. We do not take one and leave aside the other. So these are basic rules regarding the matters of knowledge and the matters of evidence especially. I ask Allah to make us understand better than we have tried to explain. Today, inshallah, this is where we will stop. Our next class will be on Salatul Duha. Many times we do something and we don't wipe the entire leg, okay? I think that these kinds of discourse about the Salatul Rawatib will have clarified a lot of things. Some people think you can observe Rawatib more than 10. Some say, oh, Rawatib are not more than 12. But we have now understood based on the Qaida that we read from Sheikh al-Islam in New Kenya. We remember that Qaida that was Sawabu fi hadha al-bab al-qawlu بما ثبت من الأحاديث الصحيحة. Now what we should do in this matter is, whenever the hadith is sahih, indicating that the Prophet was repeated عليه الصلاة والسلام upon it, that is the opinion that we are going to go. When Ibn Umar said, رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would observe 2 minutes before zuhur, 2 minutes after zuhur, and then we have other reports that show that he would observe 4 minutes before zuhur, 4 minutes after the word, we understand that they are both authentic. What rather meant was that sometimes you observe 4, sometimes you observe the 2. You did not observe less than 2. It's either 4 before 4 after, or 4 before 2 after, or what? 2 before and 2. But the major thing that we've been repeating is that let's try to keep to these things. It will help us remember them. And it will be one of the benefits of coming to sit down here. We'll discuss this issue. One major benefit of this is that we must be able to keep them to practice. We should not be among those who will learn something and then we will forget about it. Many people would have learned these things, but they are rather busy with WhatsApp, you know, Facebook. It's a disease now. That's why I've been repeating it and criticizing it largely. You become a disease. Someone makes nawa from salam alaikum, the first thing you do is you want to check and update. It's a sickness. The World Health Organization counts it now as a sickness. I'm sure we know that. It's a disease now recognized by World Health Organization. May Allah protect all of us from this disease. If we have a few questions to ask, you can ask them. We try to provide answers to them, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Amin wa amin. Between Maghrib and Isha. Now, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed the raka'at after Salat al-Maghrib to Isha. He did not go to his house first. So if you want to observe that one, you observe it straight inside the masjid. In fact, it may be an evidence that even the 2 minutes you told us to observe at home, you may need to observe it in the masjid sometimes. We all know. Alaykum salam. Amin wa amin. Came up in the last class or something like it. Someone wants to observe Rak'at al-Fajr inside the masjid. He fears that if he starts it at home, he may miss the first Rak'at of Salat al-Fajr. He was coming straight to the masjid. If he gets to the masjid, what will he perform? Tahiyyat al-Masjid or Rak'at al-Fajr? He will perform Rak'at al-Fajr. Ulama refer to these things as Tadakhul al-Ibadat. When worship superimpose or come into themselves, we do the more stronger one amongst them, making it cover the second one. Like this case, when he told us to observe Tahiyyat al-Masjid, in the Dakhala Ahlukum al-Masjid, when any of you comes into the Masjid, Alayas, hear you. He should not sit down until he makes 2 minutes of prayer. If he makes 2 minutes of Rak'at al-Fajr, has he observed this hadith? Do you understand? He said, don't sit down until you make 2 minutes of prayer. Hadith. Now you come into the masjid, you observe Rak'at al-Fajr 2 minutes before Salat al-Fajr. Have you fulfilled that hadith on Tahiyyat al-Masjid or not? You have fulfilled it. So you can see that because Rak'at al-Fajr is more emphasized than Tahiyyat al-Masjid. They are all from Tatawu'at. But the Rak'at al-Fajr can superimpose on Tahiyyat al-Masjid. If you observe Rak'at al-Fajr, you would have fulfilled the text that commands you to observe Tahiyyat al-Masjid. So you observe Rak'at al-Fajr, you would have observed Tahiyyat al-Masjid. There is no hadith that mentions Tahiyyat al-Masjid, this name. It's the name given to that salah by the Fuqaha al-Muhaddithin. What he says is mention, make 2 units of prayer before you sit down. So if you make 2 units of prayer, but Rak'at al-Fajr, you have fulfilled the hadith. Sit down. Things like this happen. Tadakhul al-ibadat wa nawafil. They happen a lot. Don't forget that you are rushing from home in the first place. You don't ask us if there is more time. The question kills this, the first question kills this second time. Thank you. that hadith sahih? Sunna. Where did you see? Social media, what's up? You've asked me a question that a report is ascribed to Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma from their statement that whoever observed 4 rak'at after Salatul Isha would have rewards equal to the one who observed Laylatul Qadr. I said I'm not aware of those reports. So that was why I was asking, where is it? He said, the person who wrote it said it occurs in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. I have Musannaf, but I have not seen this in it. It doesn't mean that it does not occur in. And then I asked the next question, is it authentic? He said, the person who wrote the article said, the Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. I don't also know that. And where? So that we can go back to the sources and see them. Yeah, no. So I will not be able to say an answer on that until we have gone back to the sources to see and verify them. Inshallah. So I asked which group is reading it from. He said from WhatsApp post. It doesn't mean that it's a lie. It does not also mean that it is true. Because WhatsApp post, many times people just say something. I tell you this. People just say something. And they know that if they tell you that it was given Sahih or Hassan, the Sheikh Al-Albani, everybody will accept. Those Salafi people, all of them, they will accept. So some people do that. They do that. So it doesn't mean that it's correct. It does not also mean that it's not correct until you have been able to verify it. We do that, inshallah. I hope that I didn't forget. Yeah, alaykum salam. Amen. He's asking that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is asking that when Aisha said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Shafiq, that we suddenly didn't see Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will lead the people in Salat al-Isha, wa yadukhulu bayt, thumma yadukhulu bayt. Thereafter he will enter my house when he suddenly rak'atayn and observe 2 minutes of prayer. He's asking that bayt, what does it mean? You are to clean that bait. That she means Arun. Arun. Where her husband has left her is her bait. Allah mentioned something similar to that in Surah Al-Talaq. Says, La tukhriju hunna min buyutihim. La tukhriju hunna min buyutihim. Don't expel women from their room, from wherever you have placed them. So, the word is employed, generally speaking, to refer to the place where a man places his wife. Whether it's an entire house, like a duplex, or it's a small room, like a room, or it's an apartment cut into two, wherever. This is where he has placed her, that is her bed. That is what it means. He mentioned it in the class before, I think. When we were explaining the hadith of Abdullah ibn Shakir from Aisha, radiallahu anha, it does not mean that you have to build a house for your wife. But if Allah gives you the opportunity to do, inshallah it will be. Because Allah says, you will seek good fighting, you will start. The one that Allah has expanded his wealth for him, let me spend for the human according to your expanded wealth. Don't be a wealthy man and treat your wife like a poor man. may you pick you fasting and fasting. That is the meaning. Some men are rich, but they say, no, you have my hand. Say, may you pick. Islam, Islam, Islam. That's why that cup has a sukuna in it. May you pick. Let him therefore thank you. You fasting and fasting. The one that Allah has expanded is going to spend wealth on her. But the one that Allah should rally, the one that has just been given a little, he will be small that he was given. Why did he say among the one that Allah has given a little? Because Allah's wealth, Allah. Even though the one who gives that person a small amount. To the one who was giving the small wealth, how do you take me matter? Let me spend just according to what Allah has given to me. Now you can use Allah nafsan illa ma hasa. Nobody is giving anybody beyond his ability, except the one that you go and drag upon yourself. And then he gives everybody in the field. Don't worry. If it is one room today, Allah will bless you to make it 3 bedrooms. If it is 3 bedrooms today, Allah will bless you to make it a full house. If it is a full house today, Allah will bless you and make it become a duplex. If it is a duplex today, Allah will bless you to make it become a... So let's not lose hope in Allah's name. Likewise, the women see. They should be patient. There's a slogan that goes around amongst women. They know they don't want to wait. No. The one that's already on the ground. That statement contradicts many things in the Quran and the Sunnah. And women say it. And at the end of the day, they become part of us. Allah told the man that he's giving a little to give it from the little that he has given him. He said, no, me, I don't want that little. And we have seen a lot of people who were very rich in Allah protection. They will be very rich and then they come back to become poor. May Allah protect all of us. So it is not correct to do that. To think like that. Women should suffice with whatever their husband is able to provide them. I have an impression. I hope that someday I'll be corrected. When you see a woman selling something, carrying market about, in soccer and food, so she's not surprising with what the husband gives her. So she chooses to also go and start by herself. Allah just lays that body on you. Allah can manage whatever he gives you. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praising Nisa al-Quraysh, when he praised Nisa al-Quraysh, he slays and says whatever the husband gives them, they manage it. When the Prophet's wife, رضي الله عنه, complained to him that every day we ask him, you say, today we say, oh, to be patient, tomorrow we say, ah, to be patient. Yes, you want of the messenger. So it's not a new thing. If your wife comes to you to say, oh, Abu, every day we say, give us, you say tomorrow, give us, you say next tomorrow, inshallah. This every day, now inshallah, inshallah, they say, and then you know, to forbear you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, Allah did not tell the Prophet's wife to open stores around the masjid. That the solution to this problem is that Aisha, you be selling tomatoes. Umu Suleiman Salama, you be selling. He did not say that to him. He did not open that door in the Prophet's house. Alayhi salam. But we now, that is the door that we open. Once a man's rizq is not kudur alayhi, once a man's rizq is maqdur alayhi, you see the woman now open says, let me to be telling by who. Let me see that man, but you're all not asking that you said that you're back. He didn't say that. He told the wives of the Prophet, radiallahu anhu, not to be patient. Wallahi. If opening the shoe, if any wife amongst the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam wa radiallahu anhuna had a store selling anything, nobody will buy that thing from any other person except from them. Do you know that? Oh, here Allah will bring me at Yawan Nabi. Because of barakah, see, Allah did not open that shoe. You know one of the hikmah in that? Once your wife becomes a seller, every man, any man, or any woman can go to her. Good and bad, ugly, any person can have access to her. And the Prophet's wife, there are people that not everybody should have access to. So block that door. Should your own wife now be a woman that everybody has access to? If Allah is protecting the wives of the best man on the earth, he's protecting them. From evil. Did you hear what he said? Inna ma yuridullahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa. Allah wants to take away the imperfect treadmill around you. So when a woman is telling, one day once he started, somebody pulled up a niqab from her face, Asya. Who is that person who pulled up your niqab? You went to Kafira in their environment, in their program, in their digital, you told me to have niqab, I have presentation to make. What is the kilo per equal? Kilo power the name of Luma in camp, in Apple. So my sister, yes, we are doing business. It's good. Your wife will mix with anybody, everybody. This is a woman that nobody should come to your house that you don't know. You must know her friends. A man who does not know the friends of his wife does not know what he's doing. He don't know what you are doing. Sorry. Women, the Sharia does not leave them. Just go. Do what you like. No. They must be maintained and protected at all times. So you leave your wife. She's everywhere. Your wife is, you know what? She'll bring up anything to your house. Many men don't know what their wives do. You can't say. And you must be able to say. Because you'll be made accountable over her. And they are here. So you leave her open, she jumps everywhere, anywhere. She'll bring everything, anything to your house. Unfortunately, this world of social media now is handling. May Allah protect all of us. Nobody reasonable should leave his wife open to everybody. If Allah was protecting the wives of the Messenger, radiallahu anhu, I don't know where any woman who has piety, she has piety. She is able to defend herself. Can she protect herself more than Aisha? Yes, Allah says, Inna ma yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayt. I said, so you don't take your wife away from her, you will see what will happen. So it's not, the woman should, what we are saying is, the woman should suffice with what the husband provides. Manage it. And you begging your wife, you're begging Allah for your husband. Allah provide for my husband. Allah provide. But if you start your own, Allah, this my shop that I open. Allah, make me sell you. That is what your dua will be. But if you don't have anything except Allah, and then you expect from your husband to provide for you, what will the dua be? Allah, open road for, let it be easy for my husband. So the dua will be two. As the husband is praying, the woman is complimenting him. But when she has her own, he is on his own. He'll be making his dua on his own. She's making dua on her own. These things are becoming common now. On social media, people start to open. I'm telling this. Become business tycoon. If you want to learn how to sell shoes, come and attend the webinar. Social media has brought us where we are. So you can't know who came to your house yesterday. Yes, you can't say. You can't say. If your family is telling you, you're Allah protector, a prostitute 3 feet away can come to your house. Through a pot. You come to me, Allah protect all of us. Somebody who will not have anything to say, Allah, 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 Allah. When your wife says, ah, Allah, Allah, will she say that? Ele le le sera iba di kato si ti alhamdulillah won ti se. One of the things that thing will do to your to the family of a man who does that is that the woman starts feeling e ja pa ri da di pa ni wa ra lowo mi tomorrow she come ele le sera at italy la no system e ba si la ta pa ni next tomorrow if that woman does not come. The woman will be praying that may Allah bring her. By the time you know it, your wife is becoming a friend to that woman. That is the nature of women. And that is the nature of prayer. The prayer likes those who buy their market. If these things are not happening, if they don't happen. May Allah protect all of us. The summary is that the women should suffice with whatever Allah provides for them from their husband. Because you are able to send money, you take it to flop with oil. It's not a thing. It's better working. It's better for you than opening a store. It's better for you than going to construct a machine to grind pepper for you. And then I find it not. Allah protect all of us. I think it will suffice for us to talk to you. We'll come on Salatul Duha and Qiyamul Layl inshallah in our next class. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. I don't know what I'm talking about.